Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on this Thursday, July the 29th, 2021. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And we have only got a few days left in the month of July. Can you believe that? And then we'll head into those lazy, hazy dog days of August. And school will be back in session before you know it. Now, a lot of interesting things going on right now. As we told everybody yesterday, the cases of COVID-19 are on the rise here in Marion. So next hour, we're going to be joined by Tyler Pigman from the Marion County Health Department to fill us in on what's going on and where exactly our vaccination rate is. Very important stuff here in Marion County. As we look to the state of Ohio, there's a whole lot of stuff going on. We tried Vax-a-Million. The vaccination rate is still not at 50%. President Biden wanted the country to be at 70%. That did not happen by the 4th of July. And in the middle of all of that, we have a governor's race next year that is heating up. And in the middle of all that, we have possibly one of the biggest scandals in Ohio history involving the utility giant First Energy, who last week made a deal for nearly a quarter of $1 billion to avoid charges in connection with that scandal. To help sort all that out this morning is one of this program's dear friends. He's a great guy to have on, a great analyst, and a lot of people feel he was a great governor of the state of Ohio, Ted Strickland. Governor Strickland, how are you?
Well, I'm really good, and it's great to talk to you and to your listeners this morning. We are heading into August, and pretty soon, school will be underway, and let's hope we get this virus under control and things can get back to normal.
Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about the virus toward the end of the hour this morning, but I want to start off with First Energy this morning. Last week, when the deal was made to avoid prosecution for the utility giant, nearly a quarter of $1 billion with a B, what did you make of that?
Well, I don't know all the details about the deal, but I am a little suspicious of deals, even a deal that requires a quarter of $1 million in a fine. I want an investigation to find out exactly everything that happened here. And, you know, if I can reflect a little bit about over my administration, the biggest scandal in my administration was some people throwing cigarettes over the wall of at the governor's residence for the inmates who were working there. Not a terribly big deal. What we have here is the scandal of the century. We're talking about billions of dollars, taxpayer dollars. We're talking about electricity rates, energy rates going up on all of Ohio consumers as a result of this god-awful deal. And people need to be held accountable. And I am stunned that people knew about this Randazzo's payoff, basically, $4.3 million payoff by First Energy just a month before the governor appoints him to be the state's top regulator. It's scandalous, and yet the governor says he stands by Laura Dawson, who was his chief of staff and who knew about this a couple of weeks before she even told the governor. What kind of staff person would keep such information away from the governor? I just can't understand it. And then Dan McCarthy, that I've known for many years, and I think is I've always admired him greatly. But I think he needs to be investigated in this situation as well. And then Lieutenant Governor John Houston. Randazzo testified that Laura Dawson and John Houston had recruited him to be appointed to this top regulator position. I tell you, it smells to high heaven, and people need to be held accountable.
Governor Strickland, obviously Larry Householder's involved in this, and he has been sent packing from his position, which he was elected to. But Governor DeWine is in a very unique position here. He's up for re-election. He's already facing a lot of heat about how he handled COVID. And then after this deal was made last Thursday, he took $130,000, somewhere in that amount, and donated it to the Boys and Girls Club Association of Ohio on Monday. That was given to him by First Energy for his campaign, and I believe some of that also was money that was given to John Husted. What do you make of giving that money away and doing it right after this deal was made, 3 days later?
Scott, just, you know, I have a hard time not reflecting back over my experience when I was in the governor's office. And I fought with First Energy nearly every day I was in that office. And I tried to, you know, Tony Alexander was the CEO at the time. And when we were trying to get our energy bill passed, First Energy fought me every step of the way. And they came into Columbus and they bought up every lobbyist they could buy. And they did everything they could to keep us from getting our energy bill passed, especially the renewable standards. And I tried to call attention to the fact that First Energy, in my judgment, was a rogue organization. I couldn't get the Akron Beacon Journal to pay much attention to that. I couldn't get anyone to pay the kind of attention that it deserved, because First Energy has been a bad player in Ohio for decades. They have come into Columbus. They've spent huge amounts of money buying lobbyists to support their interests. They've given money to legislators, and they have basically been in charge of the state of Ohio's energy policy, except for the 4 years that I was in office when I stood up to them. And then to have a man like Randazzo appointed to be the chief regulator of the PUCO, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And I'm not surprised that this has been called the largest scandal in the state's history, and people need to be held accountable, whoever they are. You know, Scott, you know that I've been willing to say really positive things about Governor Mike DeWine. I think he's done some really good things, but for him to keep people on his staff who kept information from him for days and weeks, information that he needed to know so that he could have taken immediate action, I don't understand why they're still there on his staff.
Well, this begs an interesting question. You were governor. You have just explained you knew what you thought First Energy was at that time and fought them. Is there any way, with this appointment that was made by Governor DeWine, that he did not know what was going on? Because I still think that's his stance. He didn't know anything.
Well, he knew that Randazzo was affiliated with First Energy. And in my judgment, that would have been enough for me to have stayed away from this guy. You know, when I became governor, Bob Taft had someone in that position, and he was an economist. He was an honest, honorable guy, and I kept him on. I didn't go out and look for some oil company or electricity company lobbyist to put in that position. I kept on the guy that was there under Bob Taft because he was competent, he was honest, he was doing a good job, and I kept him on, and he served the people of Ohio, and he served me so well during the 4 years that I was in that office. And I didn't know if he was a Republican or a Democrat at the time I kept him on, and quite frankly, I still don't know if he's a Republican or a Democrat, but I knew he was competent. I knew he was experienced. I knew he would do a good job because he had been doing a good job under Governor Taft. That's the kind of person that should be in that regulatory position, not some industry lobbyist, for God's sake. I just don't understand why Randazzo was chosen and put in that position in the first place.
With everything that was going on, with the indictments and everything that went on last year, we're talking November of last year, and Governor DeWine asserts that he did not know anything until the raid of his home, of I believe it was Randazzo's home, was conducted. Is that possible?
Well, it shouldn't be possible. It shouldn't be possible. I want to tell you, Scott, I saw red flags when Randazzo was first appointed to that position. I couldn't understand it. I knew of his relationship with First Energy. I think nearly everyone did. And you know, one of the legislatures that testified was questioning Randazzo as he was going through the the process has stated that Randazzo indicated in that testimony that he had been recruited for this position by Laura Dawson and John Houston. They ought to be under oath and ask if that's true, and why. Why would they want this man who worked for First Energy to be in that position? And I think it's because First Energy was controlling much of what happened at the State House and had for years and years and years, because they were willing to pour money into the political system in order to buy the policies that benefited them. And that is the core of corruption, and it ought to be rooted out. I think the governor needs to clean house. I think these people who had information about this, the governor says he didn't know. He should have known, but he says he didn't know. But Laura Dawson waited 17 days to tell the governor about Randazzo's $4.3 million payment from First Energy. My God, if my chief of staff had waited a day to have given me that kind of information, I would have been irate. But to sit on that information for 17 days, as they say she did, how do you explain that? It's not explainable. I mean, a governor's chief of staff is obligated to keep the governor informed on everything that is happening within the state that they know about. And I just don't understand that. I do not understand it. That's why we need hearings. We need people under oath. We need an investigation.
I think the common wisdom to people who are just listening to what we're talking about now, because this is how government has become in a lot of people's eyes, is that one of the reasons he might keep her on is that if he let her go, she might say something that he doesn't want her to say.
Well, that's possible. You know, that's Scott, that's a rather cynical way to look at it, but it's a possibility because people are skeptical. And that's part of the tragedy of this situation. Government ought to work for the people. You know, I keep going back to myself. You know, people can say I was a good governor or a bad governor, but they can't say I was a dishonest governor. They can't say that I took advantage of being in that office to enrich my friends or to enrich corporations that should have been bird-dogged by oversight and watched closely. Part of the responsibility of anyone in office is to put the needs of the people first. And when you're thinking about energy policy, when you're thinking about utility rates, when you're thinking about the fact that Ohio, you know, rich and poor are obligated, you know, to pay their electric bills, then you need someone who's looking after the PUCO that will consider their needs and will make sure that everything is done that can be done to bring fairness and justice to how the government carries out its responsibilities. And it didn't happen in this case. I mean, Mr. Randazzo may be a good guy, you know. He's experienced. He's done a lot of important things in his life. But he's certainly not the kind of person you would put in charge of the PUCO. My gosh. And then just a month before he was appointed to be the top regulator, he was paid $4.3 million by a big utility company. And then he was put in a position where he would be regulating that company. Give me a break. It smells to high heaven.
Well, another problem here is, and just to get the chronology of this right, July 21st, 2020, so July 21st, 2020, more than a year ago now, the FBI arrested Larry Householder and four others in connection with a $60 million bribery case involving First Energy. Now, I believe it was the next day, Governor DeWine said that he should resign. I guess it was the same day, July 21st press briefing. DeWine said, this is what he said. I want to make sure I have this right because we want to get this right here. But he did, Governor Mike DeWine called for Householder to resign later that day. So the confusion is, if this went on in July, we learned that this was the biggest bribery case in the history of Ohio, and Larry Householder was arrested on that day by the FBI, and all this is going on, how in November, until November 17th, does Governor DeWine have no idea that anything is going on in his own administration?
Well, Scott, you are asking a question that needs to be answered by the governor. He is the only one who can provide an answer to that question, a relevant question, an important question that you just posed. And the governor needs to talk about this. And if he didn't know, then he needs to hold those accountable for not telling him. I mean, you know, a governor is responsible for a lot of things. They're responsible for, you know, so many things that happen across the state. And that's why they need people who will keep them informed. What kind of vetting took place before Randazzo was appointed to that position? You know, he says that Lieutenant Governor John Houston recruited him for that position? What kind of vetting did John Houston do of Randazzo before he recruited him, as Randazzo testified, to be the state's top regulator? You don't just go out and position like that without looking deeply into their past and current behavior. Who are they working for? How much are they getting paid? All of that stuff needs to be known before you would put person in that incredibly important regulatory position. And Scott, just let me emphasize, the person in that position affects every citizen in Ohio, because the PUCO regulates our energy policy. They make determinations about rates and rate increases and all sorts of things. They make determinations about every aspect of energy. And so that person needs to be highly ethical, highly qualified, and free of any conflicts of interest. Obviously, Randazzo had massive conflicts of interest at the time he was appointed to this position.
Governor Strickland, here's another problem in the timeline. Now, maybe you can explain this to me. We go back to Householder being arrested in conjunction with First Energy July 21st of 2020. Governor DeWine asks him to step down on July 21st. Now, Governor DeWine, by his own admission, does say he knew on November 17th, that's the date he found out, that this payment had went on to Randazzo. So he knew then. Now, that's November 17th. We're in July of 2021. That is, what, 9 months later? When the government makes the deal with First Energy, that's when DeWine then says, I didn't know anything until November 17th, and gives away $130,000 in First Energy money to the Boys and Girls Club 4 days later. Why wouldn't he have done it on November 17th?
Another good question, Scott. You are full of good questions this morning. Let me tell you, he appointed Randazzo to that position. He said he didn't know. The minute he found out, he should have said to Randazzo, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't know this when you were appointed, but you've got to go. You cannot stay in this position. And that's what he should have done. I think, you know, I just can't believe that he didn't when he knew about this immediately.
Well,
he should have recognized the conflict of interest, and he should have said, "You've got to go." It's just puzzling to me that it didn't happen. And you know, there's this. It's been reported that not long before Randazzo was appointed, that the governor had lunch with him and First Energy's then CEO Jones, and you know, the governor says he doesn't remember what they talked about. What? I mean, that's puzzling to me.
Well, he does remember he wasn't told till November 17th, but he doesn't remember what they talked about at lunch, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's been reported. You know, listen, maybe because I've been governor, it makes me a little more sympathetic to whoever's in that position, and I know, you know, I know how much information comes your way and all that kind of stuff. I'm not trying to, you know, to be critical of, you know, the motivation or the character of the governor. I do question why you didn't take action immediately. And it's just, you know, these people, Laura Dawson has worked for him for many years. Yeah, I think she's a fine person. Dan McCarthy, I've known Dan McCarthy for many years. And I've always thought Dan was an honorable person. And I'm not sure that he is still an honorable person. I just think that given the circumstances, the governor needs to, like, clean the house and try to bring in some other people that may be of more help to him than these folks have been.
And being a former governor, as you are, you're one of a handful of people who could speak to this, and that's why I'm going to ask your opinion on these two things, and I understand these two questions are more opinion-based, but we know what Governor DeWine says. He says he didn't know anything till November 17th. With everything we just said, the householder charges back in July, the fact that he did have lunch with Randazzo, the fact that he did know on November 17th but didn't do anything until July of 2021, 9 months later. Do you believe him when he says he didn't know anything? As a governor who sat in that position, who knows what goes on?
I'm hesitating here because he certainly should have known. It's almost incomprehensible that he would not have known. You ask me if I believe him. I've never known him, to not be an honest person, but it's puzzling to me, Scott. Let me deal with it this way. These are the kind of questions that should be put to the governor directly, publicly, in person, and to give him a chance to answer that. I don't know what was in his heart or what he may have known, but the people of Ohio need to have him be transparent and to come forth and to talk about all of this stuff and to do everything possible to clear the air and to give people confidence that that they know everything that happened and who was responsible when and under what circumstances information was shared. All of that needs to be talked about explicitly, and in my judgment it has not been. So the question that you asked me, I have a hard time answering. All I can tell you is, if he didn't know, he should have known.
Let me ask you this, and I don't mean to press it this much, but you know Governor DeWine a long time, and you were very positive of him during the COVID situation. I assume have a good relationship with him as a person, even though politics are different. Can you imagine him doing this? Can you imagine him being this hands-off? Mike DeWine's not a new politician. He was attorney general. He was many things here in Ohio for many, many years. Could he be that hands-off?
It's really hard to believe. You mentioned Larry Householder here. The minute it was revealed that Larry Householder had been engaged in this behavior, there should have been a total, thorough review of everything that was related to energy policy, to First Energy. All of that should have been, they should have jumped on that immediately, and they should have looked under every rock, and they should have uncovered everything. As soon as there was the hint of this householder scheme, and apparently that wasn't done. I can't understand. It is really difficult, Scott, to understand. They say, well, much less was known according to this report I'm looking at, much less was known when news of the scandal broke last summer. It's always difficult for anybody to keep track of what was known then versus what is being alleged now. Well, as soon as the scandal broke, they should have found out. As soon as that scandal broke, they should have put time and resources and expertise into looking at everything that was connected to our energy policy and what was being done to influence our energy policy in this state. And apparently they didn't do that.
Well, on that note, here's the other opinion question, and maybe this is more pertinent and even to the point of where we're going to go from here on in this story. This is not a small story. In the beginning, you illustrated what the biggest scandal was in your administration, and now we're talking about the biggest scandal in Ohio history. The attorneys have said this from the federal government. So all that being said, at this point, you got the biggest scandal. You've got FirstEnergy settling for it's $230,000, nearly a quarter of $1 billion last Thursday. They're still cooperating with the government. We've got Larry Householder and other associates pleading guilty. One person is dead in this whole thing who was charged. The governor, we now know, knew on November 17th that this payment had been made of over $4 million to Mr. Randazzo. He says he didn't know till November 17th. Let's give him that. He didn't know. Okay. But from November 17th until the middle of July 2021, he didn't do or say anything about that. Then he does something. He does not fire his chief of staff, who obviously withheld this information from him for a few days, so he says. Now, all that being said, with the Harry Truman philosophy of the buck stops here, should Mike DeWine resign this position? There's some problems here, I would think.
Are you asking me should he resign as governor?
Yeah, with what we know, with everything we know, all the missteps.
Well, listen, if he were to do that, John Huston would become governor, and I think John Huston very well may be more involved in this scandal than even the governor, because Randazzo testified, according to the report that's in the Columbus Dispatch, I think it's a dispatch, Randazzo testified that he had been recruited to be the state's top regulator by Dawson and Lieutenant Governor John Huston. So if the governor resigns, we would have John Huston as governor, and I don't think that would be good for the state of Ohio.
Well, that's another piece of the pie here is John Huston, and to my knowledge, Governor DeWine has not taken any action on that, and certainly I don't think Governor Huston has at this point. Should these people be running the state right now? I mean, obviously there's going to be an election next year, but should we go a year and a couple months knowing what happened here and just... Because I don't really know what else could be done at this point except for them to resign and there be a trial, and I don't know if that would even happen.
Well, you know, Scott, there's a difference between doing something that is illegal and just being incompetent or negligent in the carrying out of one's duties. I don't know that there's any indication at this point that the governor or the lieutenant governor or Laura Dawson or Dan McCarthy has done anything illegal. I mean, I think the investigation will uncover, you know, the truth about that one way or the other. But, you know, my personal feeling is that we've got Mike DeWine and John Huston as governor and lieutenant governor, and are likely to, you know, they're likely to be there until the end of their term, and very well could be reelected depending on what the people of Ohio choose to do. But, you know, I think the best thing that they could do would be to be transparent as possible, to make themselves available to the press for questioning, to answer every question that is posed to them. If they know the answer, to give the answer. If they don't know the answer, then say, I don't know the answer to that. But I don't think that's been done. I think there's been, an effort to just hope this scandal goes away. And it's not going to go away. In the Republican primary, it's going to be an issue. In the general elections, it's going to be an issue. And the best way to deal with this, I think, if I were giving, no one's asked me for advice here, and maybe after this interview, you can understand why. But the fact is that I think the best thing they could do for themselves and for their political careers would be to get this out and to talk about it and to do their best to explain everything that happened and why it happened, and then make sure that everybody that's accountable or responsible is held to account. The investigation is underway. We don't know what may turn up here, as the investigation unfolds.
Governor Strickland, one thing that's curious to a lot of people is if there was no wrongdoing done and if there was nothing illegal done, and we can't indict anybody or make assumptions in that way, but why would Governor DeWine give away that $130 to the Boys and Girls Club after the settlement was made, the deal was made with First Energy last week?
Well, I assume he was just trying to disassociate himself from First Energy, given what's come out here. But, I don't think Mike DeWine has done anything in order to enrich himself. He's a very rich man. Whatever he did or didn't do, I don't think is related to any attempt to enrich himself. Now, he may have done it because he thought it was to his political benefit, I doubt very seriously if any of the other actors in this, save Mr. Randazzo, behaved as they did in order to enrich themselves.
Well,
I think
I guess
they did it because they, they wanted political power. And, when you have an organization like First Energy that's willing to shell out millions of dollars in order to help elect, senators and representatives that will support public policies that will benefit their corporation and so on and so forth. Scott, that's the root of this scandal. It's the corruption. It's the corruption that exists in dark money, where millions of dollars can be expended by corporations in order to perhaps get billions. And they come in and they wine and dine and they, do everything they can to make sure that whoever is elected is someone that's going to support their policies. That is corruption. It may not be illegal, but the system that allows that to happen is a corrupt system. It needs to be changed. We need campaign finance reform that really speaks to this kind of corrupt system. And First Energy is just one. I think it's my personal feeling is, based on my own personal experience, that First Energy is in a class of, has been in a class of its own, in, you know, in terms of using money to buy influence. But it happens all the time. And it's because of our campaign finance system that allows these dark money groups to put, you know, to basically dominate who gets elected. and then all the gerrymandering, you know, that's taken place. I mean, we are in a world of hurt, not only in Ohio, but across this country. And our democracy is being threatened because we have a corrupt system of campaign finance, and we need to deal with that.
Governor Strickland, I do want to talk about COVID, but I want to ask you this, because you used the word incompetent earlier on. Not on the whole, but when it comes to this matter, has Governor DeWine acted incompetent by not knowing what he should have known, in your opinion?
It would appear so, in my judgment.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about COVID here, because we had a conversation about 2 months ago before Vax-a-Million. And one of the things during that conversation was you said that Governor DeWine had to act very cautiously about how this money was doled out. When you saw Governor DeWine on the lawn in Union County in week four handing out money, notifying the winner that they had won, when you saw him Skyping in the winners in press conferences about COVID, what did you think about Vax-a-Million at that point? Was it to get people vaccinated, or was it a political move?
Well, I think it was to get people vaccinated, and I think it was used to perhaps help him politically. I think both could be true.
Did you think that was the case before? Because I remember we had talked about him announcing the winners at a press conference, and you said that was something he should not do.
Yeah, it took on a political tinge that I think was unnecessary, maybe unwise. You had mentioned earlier that I had been complimentary of the governor in his what I considered Herculean efforts to control the virus. I think it was really unfortunate when Dr. Amy Acton basically left. I'm not sure she was forced out, but obviously it was a difficult time for her. Listen, Scott, in my judgment, people who, if there isn't some compelling medical or deeply held religious reason that they wouldn't get vaccinated, people who choose not to get vaccinated are just acting in a very selfish way. We're talking about life and death. And for a person to say, well, it's my freedom, apparently they think that their freedom not to get a vaccination is more important than the potential death of old people, of children, of healthcare workers. It's disappointing, because I don't think that's the way most Americans are, but there's a percentage of people who, I think are just damn selfish, and they're saying, you can't tell me what to do. Well, we ought not to have to tell people what to do. People should do what's right. They should do what's protective of themselves and others, just because they care about their neighbor They care about their fellow man. It's just so puzzling that there are people who take pride in being able to put others in danger, because that's what they're doing.
You know, Governor Strickland, just for the record here, and we're going to have the Marion County Health Department on next hour, in the last 2 weeks here, cases have tripled in Marion. Over the last 2 months, cases are on the upswing here in Ohio, and schools are coming back. The CDC on Tuesday is now recommending that, vaccinated or not, you should wear masks indoors at school. But I talked to the superintendent here in Marion yesterday, and they're not going to do that because it's not a mandate, and they're facing pressure not to do things like that. So, you know, here we are with that. So all that being said, and how well, let me ask these two quick questions because we've only got about 30 seconds. In your opinion, was Vax-a-Million a success? Was that a good idea to spend $5 million that way?
I think it probably was not a success, but I don't criticize the efforts to do it, because I think when we're trying to save lives, I think it was an effort to get people to get vaccinated, and if people had lined up and gotten vaccinated, we would have said, "Wow, what a great idea! What a successful idea!" It was tried. It apparently didn't work, except to a certain low level. I'm not going to pass judgment on something that may have been done in good faith with an effort to get people vaccinated.
And the other question, with now a strong primary challenger in Renacci, with President Trump's campaign manager working in some form or fashion in his campaign, being unpopular in his party for how he handled COVID, and also this now FirstEnergy scandal becoming a big issue, and a strong competitor so far on the Democratic side, Nan Whaley, emerging as a front runner way early, but she seems to be out there more than anybody else at this point. If the election were held today, would Governor DeWine be reelected?
I don't know. My wife and I were talking yesterday, and she said, "Ted, I suspect, the governor's approval was close to where your approval was at this stage in your first term, your term, my only term." I almost won. I mean, I came pretty close under difficult circumstances. So incumbency gives you a huge advantage. Nan Whaley is a good, strong candidate. John Cranley from Cincinnati, the mayor of Cincinnati, is still in this race. And I don't know. I don't know what Rindacy's going to do. I think he's going to fight really hard. I think he's going to be very negative toward Governor DeWine, I think it's very possible that Governor DeWine could lose the primary, and that the Democrat could win the governor's office. I don't know that that will happen. I think it's possible, and every day, with every passing day, it looks more and more possible.
Former Governor Ted Strickland, a good friend of mine and a good friend of this station. Governor Strickland, it's always a pleasure, and I'm sure we're going to be calling on you as the days go on and this continues to go on.
Hey, Scott, in closing, just let me wish you and all your listeners a really nice day, look forward to talking to you in the future.
Stay well, Governor.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Governor Ted Strickland, we're taking a break. We'll be right back.
At 3:15, we take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen.